Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist, I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to add a little bit more to that last episode I did. Specifically, I want to talk about two things, and one of them is the significance of reframing your core beliefs. And how that's more powerful than willpower. And it all kind of connects back to the prefrontal cortex part of your brain. And this relates to a lot of things, particularly impulses, restraint. This is something I learned in this class I took today. The class was called Calming an Overactive Brain. And it was put on through the Institute for Brain Potential. And I took this as part of a continuing education seminar related to my massage therapy license renewal. And the host of the class was Brian King. He has a PhD. And so reframing your core beliefs is a big thing. And then another one is this area of your brain called the VMPFC. So VM, prefrontal cortex, and how when you have PTSD, that part of your brain doesn't necessarily work correctly. There's like a deficiency there, so which I had never heard before, and I found very, very interesting. I'll actually start with this part first, the VMPFC. So when it comes to having a sense of control, a sense of control helps to reduce the impact of stressful situations. And stressors aren't stressful if you think you can escape or solve them at will. So this is something directly from the class. The brain has a system for turning off the stress systems when we think we have control over the stressful situation. And for the key thing that I learned was that people with PTSD don't have this. It doesn't activate, is what I should say. I shouldn't say we don't have it. It doesn't activate. So if you can imagine that you perceive a threat, your brain perceives a threat, and then your brain, a normal brain, rationalizes, okay, I have control over this. If you grow up in a home with an abuser and you have no way of escaping, you learn to become helpless. Like, you learn to have a feeling of, oh, well, I guess I'll just put up with it. There's no way out of it, right? And what does that do? That leads to massive hopelessness. Like, that leads to complex PTSD is what it leads to. And so this VM, I don't know what VM stands for. I'm sorry. I do know what it stands for. It's called the ventromedial prefrontal cortex. The ventral medial prefrontal cortex turns off the stress response because it basically says, okay, this is something that I have control over. This is not going to hurt me. But for us, that doesn't get activated. I think until maybe we learn to address fears, and then we learn to realize I have ways to cope with this. But if you're straight out of coming out of a situation and you've like just been diagnosed with complex PTSD, your brain probably does not have this resilience buildup. And also the ventromedial prefrontal cortex eliminates the effects of stress. So imagine that, right? If our brain's activated properly regarding this stuff, the effects of stress wouldn't be affecting us. It says specifically, people with PTSD don't activate this region under stress. And that's what got me. I was like, wow, okay, that is a big statement. And I'm so glad to learn it. Like, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew about the amygdala, and I know that our amygdala is I actually learned today that your amygdala can actually enlarge due to stress, and your prefrontal cortex part of your brain can become smaller. So it's even harder for us to think this way, to think in a problem-solving, restraint manner. So when I said I've been better at restraining, holding my tongue at times when things that I might say might get me in trouble, it's a really big deal because it's harder for us to do that. It's harder for us to not be impulsive. And that just happens to be a way that I express impulsiveness. So another thing that they mentioned was resilience is a function of the prefrontal cortex. So again, the prefrontal cortex is basically the part of your brain that is the problem solver. And it's your more of your strategy part of your brain. Resilience associated with relatively greater activity in the left frontal area than the right, which I never knew. Again, this is directly from this class I took. Lack of resilience marked by greater right activation. So more of like our, if the right side of your brain is more, I guess the prefrontal cortex part of your brain, if it's more enlarged on the right rather than left, I guess it means more of that part is operating, but we want more of our left part to work. And again, math people who are really good with logic, all those things that I'm not good with, those are the left side. That's that left side is the more problem solving, not impulsive side. So, I mean, some of this I kind of knew, but the one thing I did not know was that this ventral medial prefrontal cortex, people with PTSD don't activate this region under stress. I never knew that. That's big. When we're under stress, we don't activate it. So I just wanted to really point that out and definitely share that with you guys because, you know, this is coming from people in the field, by the way. Most of the people that were at this were psychologists, or I should say they are psychologists. And again, this was a class I took today. Another main thing I wanted to share, and I mentioned it at the beginning, was reframing core beliefs. This is stronger than willpower, so I'm going to hopefully explain this somewhat well here. And again, this goes back to prefrontal cortex stuff. Conscious thought can modify behavioral choices. So if you're trying to just like hold back a habit, that's willpower. If you're like, I'm going to not do this because it's, you know, just because if I keep eating all the time, I'm going to be fat, or I'm going to not text my ex 50 times today. I think there's a lot of people that struggle with that. You know, something like that, you know, it's like it's willpower. I'm not going to engage in this today. I'm not going to watch 12 hours of TV today, whatever. So it's more willpower. And what's more powerful than willpower is reframing core expectations, beliefs, and values. So if you can reframe, and I hope I explained this correctly, but basically what they were saying is if you can reframe the way that you perceive things and the way that you, you know, the way that you think about things, that can change everything. This is another moment when I was thinking that Novel Cure book would really help in this conversation, because that's one way I learned how to change my core beliefs. Was one, I had to accept that I struggle with low self-esteem. And then I took the recommendation from that book and I read what they had to say about this novel called Rebecca. And I actually watched some of the movie. And in that book and movie, she's constantly comparing herself to this her husband's first wife who died. She's always comparing herself because everybody talks about how this guy's first wife was so great and everything. So she's literally trying to just be like Rebecca rather than just be herself. And it looks so silly because it's like, you know, he didn't marry you because you remind him of Rebecca. He married you because he likes you. So why would you want to try to be like somebody else? And, but she's just becoming, she's being very insecure and struggling with low self-esteem and thinking, oh my gosh, how could I possibly size up to the most perfect woman? And then at the end of it, they find out Rebecca wasn't who they thought she was. So she was comparing herself to somebody who wasn't even what everybody thought she was. So it was stupid, right? It was silly. But it was stemming out of low self-esteem. And whenever you see that, so like myself, struggling with low self-esteem, when you see that, it can help you reframe your own beliefs and values, expectations. But, you know, my own, you know, thinking, whatever it is within low self-esteem, whatever behavior stemming out of low self-esteem, I have to change that. And the other one was the misanthrope thing. That's another thing I got out of that Novel Cure book, was misanthrope and the importance of forgiving myself for certain things and realizing the world's not out to judge me and I shouldn't be judging it. So when you start to change things like that, another one was the ignorant thing. You know, it's ignorant. And I learned a lot of that through true crime. It's ignorant to think in a certain way. And I didn't realize it was ignorance until I read that Novel Cure book. But mine was more obliviousness and assuming, which was really narrow-mindedness. And being obliviousness a lot of times is ignorance. Being naive is ignorance. Like you're ignorant. Like I said, at Rose on the Golden Girls. That's the best example I can think of. A super oblivious, naive, ignorant person. Clueless. Like, ignorance is bliss, right? Well, Rose was very blissful. She's just la-di-da. You could say, are we going to do this till the cows come home? And Rose would say, we have cows? You know, it's like, no, Rose, it's just a saying. And she'll say, oh, a saying about what? It's just a euphemism. It's a metaphor. You know, she doesn't get it. She's naive, right? That's ignorance. I'd have to say it's sadly relatable for me. So if I were to watch that would probably be the funniest character on the show for me, because I would relate to that, because I've been so oblivious at times in the past. And I've had people tell me that, are you oblivious? And I'll be like, I don't know. Am I, like, you know, like, it's holy cow. And I know where it comes from, but I won't get into that. I know where that obliviousness comes from, or I should say, I know where that ignorance comes from. But I wanted to just share some of this, because again, I can see what this guy hosting this class is saying. Reframing core expectations, beliefs, and values is much stronger than just willpower. I mean, willpower is almost like you're doing something you don't want to do, and you don't have the right mindset for why it's better to do it. You're just being told by other people, stop smoking, stop eating so much, stop doing this, you know, and you don't want to do it. It's like, it's almost like you're being scolded, and it's like you're living a life and you're bitter, right? Well, if you reframe your core beliefs, like I talked about, I learned a lot of this. I learned what my problems were and how to change them and what to look at as what I don't want to do. I don't want crisis because I procrastinate. I learned a lot of that in that Novel Cure book. I can't, you know, talk enough about that book. You guys have to be sick of me bringing it up. But again, I just want to talk about these two other things, and now I have. So this class was great, and this class might be, I don't know if they just let the public take classes like this. I don't know. But there's several different fields that they let sign up for this stuff. I don't remember what they all are, but it's not just psychologists and massage therapists. There's a lot of different fields that can do this. Nurses. I think nurses can take it. Anybody that works with patients and clients can probably take this stuff. So this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.